what will I say to the church, Lord, on the last day of 2023, as we are in a time when one door is about to close on a year and another door open to another year full of possibilities, potential. Do you know, we open up the book of 2024 with blank pages, ready to be filled. Yes, God knows. He knows how these pages are going to be filled. We don't. But I believe we can write some of our story. We can write some of our story. And the word that I felt God asked me to encourage you was, don't walk into and walk through 2024 aimless. Don't aimlessly walk through this year. That is my encouragement to you. Aimless, meaning without vision, without purpose, without goals. Do you know, many people struggle. What are my goals? What's my vision? What's my purpose? And still probably struggling. Many people are going through life aimlessly, just living an existence with no real goal or purpose. But let me tell you, when Jesus Christ comes into your life, he brings purpose. He brings things into your life where you can just see transformation come. We've heard the testimonies this morning of transformation. The truth is, and you might be here as well, sometimes in life, we just get tired and we get wearied, spiritually, physically, mentally, and we just have no energy whatsoever to think about the year ahead or goals. But I believe that we can, in our lives, be intentional about stepping in to 2024 with an aim. Do you want to continue through 2024 aimlessly? Do you want to take into 2024 the testimonies and what we've heard, the things that God's been doing in your life, and even more in 2024? God will give us more than we can ever ask or imagine. Why would he do that? Because that is who he is. That is who he is. And I am praying, I am believing 2024, a new year of new opportunities, of new encounters and new challenges. Because let me say, it's not always going to be easy. We've heard the stories, but God is in the midst of that. God is walking through and God will walk through 2024 with you. You may be facing some fearful times, but let me say, God is there and he will, in times, he will carry you through. One verse I just want to read, and it's in Acts chapter 20 and verse 24. It says, this is Paul, however, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus has given me. And what it was that for Paul? It was the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. What a task. What a task. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim, what is your only aim today, church? His only aim was to finish the race and complete the task that the Lord Jesus had given me, the task of testifying to the good news, thank you, of God's grace. But later on in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, he again encourages the people there, run in such a way as to get the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. If we are going to successfully navigate 2024, I believe we have to build in some aim. What are we aiming for? If you aim at nothing, you will hit nothing. If you aim at something, it could be one thing. What is that one thing? And I want to encourage you over these next few days, Just to start to think and say, God, what is the one aim you want me to pursue? What is the one aim that you want me to pursue? It may be even just getting up in the morning and your first words are, thank you, Jesus. There's a great aim. Every day to give God thanks for one thing. There. Paul, as he looks at our lives, he likens himself or uses illustrations of accountants. He uses runners. I was a runner. Can you not tell? In my days, a sprinter. I knew the days of getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning when it's snowing, wanting times just to pull the covers over my head. But I had a friend who was more tenacious than me. And I would be thinking, God, let him sleep in. Please let him sleep in. God, let him sleep in. And then it's, we're going running. We're going running. And you know, again, if we are going to journey as a believer, if we are going to see God's blessing, yes, God blesses our life. But if we are going to see aim and purpose and meaning and navigate some of the obstacles, we need to get into training. We need to pray. We need to prepare for it. I've got here rest, diet, and time. Rest, diet, and time. I had to change some of my diet to be a runner. I couldn't just be feeding on Mars bars and Iron Brew and all the pies, and or I would put weight on and I wouldn't be able to be a sprinter. I had to work hard. The many times as I wanted to give up, the coach was there. Keep going. Give me another one. Give me another one. Come on, that's the first set over. We're going to do another set. And you're thinking, oh, goodness. But I had to work at it so as when the day of the race came, oh, I was out that starting blocks so fast that you couldn't see me. Again, Paul is trying to build in for us that if we want to see just change come to our life, if we want to see our tenacity, our resolve in facing those difficult times that may come, we have to plan for it. We have to build discipline. That's a word that not many of us like. Discipline. Building discipline. Self-discipline, I believe, is what we need to build into our life. What that looks like for you may be different for me. But what is it that you need to build into your life? Paul says he was willing to give up everything to be able to finish the race, to finish the race. His priority was his spiritual life. Do you know, all the temporary things he would say was like nothing compared to the reward and the well done that he would receive from God. And you know, for many of us, we're not thinking about that when we're younger. Our world is ahead of us. We have got hundreds of years to live. But as you get older, as I reach my 60s, there's not much left in the windscreen. There's a lot in the rearview mirror there. And I want to finish well. And for us, even younger ones, build resolve into your life that you will finish well. That you will finish well. And in the end, as Paul could say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. Here he, at the end of his life, can say, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have kept the faith. You know, that is a great aim that we can build into our life. And he did that through humility. He did it through tears. He was, well, you know the stories of Paul, shipwrecked, beaten. He had a hard time. He had a hard time. But you know, something, someone was in his life that carried him, that gave him the strength, and it was Jesus. The truth is, if you're like me, we all want a shortcut. We all want the shortcuts, don't we? The quick and easy way to be mature and live the Christian life and to be that strong believer that we need to be. I mean, but you know, for self-discipline, there is no shortcuts. We have to build in some resolve there. David was another man who had a heart after God. Says in Acts 13, just previous verses, "Now when David had served God's purposes in his own generation, he fell asleep." He died. He served God's purposes. He too could have said, "I have finished my race. I have kept the faith. I have fought the good fight." How did he do that? Psalm 101 gives us a bit of an insight. And I'm just going to quickly just give you some things in here that we can build into our lives. There, how did David manage to get through having that heart after God? Psalm 101 says, "I will sing of your love and justice, Lord. I will praise you with songs. I will be careful to live a blameless life. When will you come to help me? I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. I will refuse to look at anything vile or vulgar. I hate all who deal crookedly." Now, when you see the word hate in here, because Jesus tells us not to hate anyone, doesn't he? You know, that is a preference for one thing over another. I will love mercy and I will hate injustice. So that is a preference for one thing over another. "I will reject perverse ideas and stay away from every evil. I will not tolerate people who slander their neighbors. I will not endure conceit and pride. I will search for faithful people to be my companions. Only those who are above reproach will be allowed to serve me. I will not allow deceivers to serve in my house, and liars will not stay in my presence. My daily task will be to ferret out the wicked." Wow. "And free the city of the Lord from their grip." Some values that David had built in his life. And I think even the first one, "I will sing of your love and justice. I will praise you with songs." Do you know, what is the song of your life? What is the song of your life? I want to encourage you to build in a song, to build in a testimony. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell the story. And David, I believe, a man of worship, and I believe our aim could be that worshiping Jesus, taking that time just to worship him, giving him thanks and praise. "I will sing of your love and justice. I will be careful to live a blameless life." He was a man who guarded his heart. Yes, he messed up at times. Had someone killed, committed adultery, but yet still called a man after God's own heart. That for me is good news. We do mess up. We are not perfect. We are not perfect, and we will not go through this life perfect. I will disappoint people. I will mess up at times. I will make some mistakes, but he still loves me and he still cares for me. And you know, my resolve is, will I be a man who will still be after the heart of God for my life? Lord, although I am messing up, I'm keeping going. I will be careful. Guard your heart, as the word of God says, for it is the wellspring of life. I will lead a life of integrity in my own home. David was someone who was a man of integrity in the house and outside the house. He was the same in and out. Do you know, the private and the public. And again, the challenge for us is to live in the public, who we are in the private, live in the private, who we are in the public. Because yes, we can live one way and then come into church on a Sunday. Isn't God good? And then we're just off the rails. But I will be careful in the house and out the house to lead a life of integrity. refusing to look at anything vile or vulgar. What are we building into our lives? Do you know the challenge again with social media and TV and everything that's going on? As goodness me, what can we watch? What can we build into our lives? What are we building into our life? What are we letting into our life? And David here, his resolve was he's not letting anything of evil or of vulgarity, anything into his life that was going to destroy his relationship with God. Staying away from evil, not enduring pride and conceit. I will search for faithful people to be my companions. My question is, who's around your life that's bringing you blessing, that's bringing you encouragement, that's helping you? We can have people, I'm afraid, in our life who just pull us down. Who pull us down, who just can be that, as we call them, negative Nancys. Have you ever been around these people? You just think, goodness me, how long is that? 2 minutes we've been in their presence. But you know, being in someone who just brings encouragement and blessing, you know, it's just these people are just worth their weight in gold. And so my encouragement to you is, who's speaking into your life? Who's speaking into your life? David was defined by his honor, his integrity, his honesty, his purity, his devotion. And the challenge for us is, what will our lives be defined by? As we meet on a Sunday, I see the hunger and people, the hunger for God. That is one of the biggest blessings for us. People are just hungering after more of God. And we have, again, just a church who I see, we're loving one another, caring for one another. But let's not take the foot off the accelerator here. Let's not take our foot off the gas. We have to pray for each other. We have to be guarding our heart. Because there's no perfect people here. Someone may say something and you will get offended and want the pastor to throw them out of the church. I know you won't. But we have to guard the unity. We have to pray for our church and our churches as well. Paul from Acts 20 would say, two things I want to encourage you to do. Stay close to God and stay close to his word. Stay close to God and stay close to his word. As he in Acts chapter 20, verse 32 says, now I am turning you over to God, our marvelous God, whose gracious word can make you into what he wants you to be and give you everything you could possibly need in this community of holy friends. I like that. That was a message, by the way, Annette. A community of holy friends. I'm turning you over to God, our marvelous God, whose gracious word can make you, turn to someone and say, make you. No, you need to turn back to them and say, no, believe it, make you. Come on, they don't believe it. Make you into what he wants you to be and give you everything you could possibly need in this community of holy friends. Give yourselves fully to God. Give yourselves fully to his word. Give yourselves fully to his Holy Spirit. We have to plan for the year ahead. We have to plan for the journey. We have to plan, I believe, for change. It just won't just happen naturally. Plan. Here's four words for you. P-L-A-N. Prayer. Pray. Because prayer does bring change. Get involved in the prayer meeting. Seek God there. L. Let's be listening. I've got here listening to God. And we do have to listen to God. But can we be listening to one another? As well, not so ready to jump in and tell our stuff, but let's be people who will listen to one another, that we can bring that word in season to one another, that encouragement, that help there. Aim. A. Aim for something. There was a phrase going about at times, and I really struggled with this. Aim for excellence. Anyone else here heard that? Let's aim for excellence. Do you know, I felt in my life I could never reach it. Because every time I looked, it wasn't excellent. And I decided that I was going to change it and make it better. Aim for being better. Aim for being better. How can we be better at? Do you know, and that could just mean one step. One step, just being better. God, I'm going to be better at being intentional this year. God, I'm going to be better at getting up a bit earlier this year. Aim for better. Better in our devotion to God. Better at discipline. Better at relationship building. Better at our interactions with our world. Let's just be better. Let's just be better. And N, I couldn't think of a word. So I just put navigate. I thought, navigate. We are all on a journey. Remember the times when I shared about God's taking us on an adventure? You know, I believe we have to learn how to navigate our world. Our world is getting messed up. And it's so hard now to navigate all that's happening in our world. And we need the Word of God. We need the Holy Spirit. And we need to stay close to Him. We need to let Him lead. That word navigate, direct, plan, steer, plan the route, direct the way in which the vehicle will move, successfully find a way from one place to another. Let's navigate this life and our lives better. Better. Get some people around you that's going to encourage you and help you on the journey. But can we not go into 2024, our journey through 2024 aimlessly, just hoping that God is going to change something? But can we be intentional? Can we put some aims down that we're going to aim for and work towards? And we as a church will put some aims down that we will want to see us hit that target of all that we want to do and see God do in our lives and through our lives. I've said enough. Come on, let's stand.